Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
From restaurant openings and discounts on bars and hotels to beauty and fashion offers, Sherlock's partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. And this month, we're offering new annual sign-ups a free Kate Somerville exfoliating treatment worth £72. Or you can trial VIP and get 2 months free access using the code VIPX2 at checkout. For more information, visit sherlocksvip.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Highlights podcast with me, Olivia Wayne, and Becky Hull, Heather Steele, and Tamara Corrin joining me today. Thanks, ladies. This is my first one, so be nice.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm here because obviously Charlotte got married this weekend, so I'm covering for her. Has anyone seen pictures?
I have.
We've
got a few mutual friends. She looks incredible, and the venue looks amazing as well. Yeah.
No, I haven't got Instagram, so I haven't looked, but I'll be asking somebody in the office to let me have
sure
a stalk later.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all come.
In floods.
Absolutely.
Can't wait for it to stop. Anyway, Charlotte obviously got married, but your weekends, anything good?
Busy, just as ever. Entertaining a lot, actually.
Father's Day, and you have a father of five.
Father of five. And actually, my father was also here because he lives abroad, so that was nice as well. We didn't do anything, actually, so special, but we made sure the cards and prezzies, and we ticked the box, let's put it that way, but no special outing.
It's a bit of a box-ticking exercise, in truth.
Yeah. No, I agree. Did you do anything?
I did actually see my dad this weekend, so yeah, I feel like did a good job there.
Do you live near him?
No, not at all, but I did see him, and I was with my sister, who's got an 8-month-old, so it was her husband's first Father's Day as well, so that was nice to be there for that.
Aww, that was special. Yeah.
Becky?
Well, Saturday, this sounds really trivial, but I got my hair done, and there is something about going and sitting in the hairdressers for 3 hours of solid nothing.
I can't bear it.
Well, to be fair, I couldn't if it was regular, but as the one-off, I was like, you get to read a magazine. Like, I've not read a physical magazine.
No, I think that's enough.
I just literally am antsy, like, get me out of the chair, get me out of the chair.
I'm very impatient.
I think it is
like
a bit split, isn't it? You either do or you don't.
I think I'd quite like it. Like, it's like forced relaxation. You can't do anything else.
For me, it's so not relaxing. I'm like clock watching. They always take longer than they think because they're like, oh, you've got so much hair. I'm like, yes, I do. I tried to tell you this. And also, I like to manage my expectations. Like, how long am I going to be here? And I'll be like, we'll get you in and out. And it's never in and out.
No.
And I can't bear it. But it sometimes it feels like a necessary evil.
Yeah. I also say, as soon as I sit down in the chair, right, I've got to leave by this time. And you know when you've got your colour actually on your hair and it's waiting, you know, for it to sink in. And I'm like, can I go now to the wash basin? I also get really worried they're going to forget about me.
And you're going to end up with, like,
really
real busy.
Yeah,
bad,
you know,
bad
really
things.
Busy. And I'm like, I think my time's up. I think I need to go.
You can't.
Like, no. Another 20 minutes. I'm like, oh,
it's just
really
painful.
It is painful.
But, like, the end result, beautiful.
Thank you, ladies. And then, Sunday. Well, actually, Sunday was a bit eventful because Father's Day was celebrated. But first, Harry and I travelled to Stratford to do the ArcelorMittal slide. It's basically been built at the Olympic Park, and we've had this ticket, I'm not joking you, for a year because I've been putting it off because I'm really claustrophobic and he's scared of heights.
Isn't it the amazing structure? Oh, you can go down
it now.
I didn't realise.
So now you can slide down this big silver slide that takes 40 seconds. It's very enclosed. But anyway, we went there yesterday. We travelled from Brighton to Stratford, which took 2 hours, just saying.
For a 40-second ride.
Exactly. You haven't heard of any. Yeah, got there, and they said that we couldn't ride the slide because they had to regulate the speed.
How do you regulate the speed of a slide?
We stood there for about 10 minutes just arguing with this poor girl who probably had no idea. Anyway, we went for 2 hours to Stratford for a 10-minute Shake Shack burger and back again. And
that's worth it.
We had to make it worth it, but didn't get a thumbs up from me.
You went, you tried, and it didn't work, so in a way, best of both.
Yeah. So that was me.
Interesting. So I'm a complete Love Island bore. that's all I'm watching at the moment. So I'm quite intrigued to hear if anyone else is watching anything, because there's just no time for me.
Well, quite different. Buckle up. Actually, on the back of Heather's recommendation, I watched When They See Us this weekend on Netflix. And first episode, I was horrid. Really emotional.
Really?
And I'm sure everybody knows, but for the sake of the podcast, it's about the Central Park Five who were wrongly accused of the rape and attack on a woman who was jogging through Central Park. And it is horrifying what happened, and it's horrifying that it's likely still happening in places today. And it just shows how messed up the justice system is. And it's
in America particularly, or everywhere.
I think, yeah, America particularly. But I mean, these guys were young. They were 14.
One was 14 years old and was, you know, being interrogated without a guardian, without food and drink for 20 hours, without loo breaks, anything.
And was it the pressure for them to just find suspects or
anyone? There's one moment where Felicity Kaufman's character, she's the sort of head of sex offences in New York, where she says every black boy who was in that park is a suspect, and they just grab anyone they can, and it's horrible.
What I found fascinating, and again horrifying, is how they do coerce people into saying that they're guilty, because obviously these boys weren't, and they were completely forced into it. It was mad.
And the boys didn't even know each other. Two of them knew each other, but they were all kind of in the park, and because they were all black, like, oh, you must all know each other. They didn't, and they were like, you know, being interrogated saying, oh, did Anton do this? And he's like, I don't know who Anton is, but very slowly.
How awful. Yeah. You know, Trump still goes on about he truly believes that they are the suspect.
Really? Yeah.
He's in it, actually, in the second episode, because he, even in the 80s, he spent something like $400,000 taking out these full-page adverts in New York's biggest papers to be like, let's give him the death penalty.
Why? What did he have any reason to do that for? What was his motivation?
I think it was an assumption thing. Yeah. And it was because of all the hype that surrounded them. And I think people then just wanted to jump to the conclusion and get it done. But
People like to know it's all wrapped up. And otherwise, it's so fearful.
Yes, exactly. It's the security that makes people feel more secure.
But there's proper DNA evidence to prove that it wasn't them.
Now, but not at the time.
The
thing is, the woman who was attacked and raped, she was in a coma, and when she did wake up, she didn't remember anything, so she couldn't say either. But yeah, they were all locked up for a very long time in various different prisons. The one who was 16 years old when he was tried ended up in the adult prison system, and rapists in prison are kind of, you know,
you can just
the lowest of the low as far as other inmates are concerned, so he had an awful time of it.
But I think it's important to watch. I really think it is, and I think it opens your eyes to,
it seems like a lot of those documentaries, you know,
this is a docudrama, we should say, it's based on the events. It's not footage or anything like that, it's actors.
You know, the Stephen Avery one, Murderer, like that, like literally a woman gets attacked and the police don't like him and they just link him.
Exactly.
And even though it's disproven, it still then comes up his whole life, and then he goes back in again for other things he didn't do. Yeah. You know?
But it's only four episodes. Mm-hmm. They're all at different stages, so there are kind of two actors per five, if that makes sense. So you see them when they're younger and then when they're older as well. But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. It's not pleasant viewing, but it's really well acted.
Watch it when you're feeling strong.
Yeah.
That's my advice, guys.
Anyway, let's talk about some of the really good, and there are loads of good, like, content articles that are on the Sherlock's website this week, because I got lost in the hole. But I learned lots. So the first one, Becky, I think you wrote about the seven proven benefits of green tea, which we all know lots of them. Obviously, the anti-aging benefits, lovely. We're always looking for that. Energy boosting, yes. But really important for kind of boosting your brain function and like essential things that fish oils do, but also you could be doing sipping on your tea.
Yeah.
Do you want to go tell us a bit more about it?
Yeah, so I'm actually not a green tea drinker, but I obviously, after writing this piece, I was thinking I probably should be, because it contains key stimulants, all of which are proven by experts to improve and boost brain focus and mood, which is pretty impressive. And I mean, I think the benefits of green tea have long been touted, but it was really interesting reading it. And the fact that it's also packed full of vitamin B and E. So naturally, that is very good for plumping your skin and keeping the healthy maintenance of it. So yeah, who knew green tea had so many benefits? And I think there's still a lot of research to be done with things. When things like this say they reduce risk of disease, I think you kind of have to take it with a slight pinch of salt, because you could say that about anything. But
there apparently is numerous studies that show that it helps to give you a decreased rate of bladder, kidney, liver and breast cancer.
I think it has such a distinct taste, though.
Such a distinct taste.
Like, you can get such lovely varieties, yeah. like a lemon one or a mango one that you can take the edge off. And also, I think the trick is you do not let that brew. It's 2 minutes it's and then strong. You get that out. Right.
Yeah. Actually, that is true, because I spoke to somebody who said...
It turns rancid everything to you, for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And ruins your teacups as well.
Oh, it does. Staining. Yeah. It's a problem. No, but in terms of, obviously you need it to steep enough.
Not stew, I'd
but
say.
But stew is not a good look. Mm. But I wonder if you get the benefits if you have decaffeinated green tea.
Apparently you do, but I think it's not quite
as potent.
As potent, yeah. Right. I really like a green tea, but you know some people, like, I start my day with a green tea. I've tried that so many times. I feel physically sick.
Me too.
Me too. Because I've said this to people before, and they're like, you weirdo.
You really have
three black coffees, and you're fine on an empty stomach. Why can't you have a green tea?
But that shows its efficacy on the metabolism, I guess.
Well, yeah, and actually, funny you say that, because the nutritionist I spoke to recommended you drink it before you work out it increases your fat burn, but I mean obviously if it's giving you like that kind of
I always feel super nauseous if that's the first thing. But then I used to mix it, I used to put peppermint tea bag in it as well, and again get the green out quick, and then it really softened the blow. When I used to work at Sky and get up at 3 a.m. I had to save my coffee. It was like one coffee a shift, and it was normally at 8-ish to power through.
Of course.
So the first drinks were the green mint mix. Boring. Anyway. It does work. But also, centuries gone by, and obviously
Japan
can't
just drink it like nothing, right. like constantly.
There's got something to
it. They all live a very long time and they're a very healthy nation. So I think it says in the piece to have one maybe around 3 o'clock instead of your 3 o'clock coffee, and apparently that can boost your brain function and stuff. So I think I might try and
reintroduce one.
Is that not for the caffeine hit that you'd get from your coffee too?
But it's not as much caffeine as a tea bag or a coffee, so you're getting the benefits of a bit of a caffeine
without
boost
the jittery
without
then.
The jitters.
All right, so whether you're going for a workout, you need the pick-me-up, or you want to boost your brain, green tea is the one for you. Speaking of being fit and healthy and active, are you as fit as you should be, and do you know what that should be?
Actually, I found this feature really interesting. Also, I liked how it was in age brackets.
Yeah, that was good.
Really good. So the answer to that is no. I know what I should be doing.
Well, it's very clear now. You
very
know what you
clear.
Should be doing. Or be able to achieve.
Yeah, that's also quite scary, having read this, that I should be able to do, I think it's like 20.
What age bracket are you in, Tamara?
I'm in the 40s.
Right. So it's all divided up from your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. And it's nice to have, a kind of aim that you should be going for. So if you can do it easily, you're on course, but obviously keep going. But if you cannot achieve these things, you probably need to up your levels of movement. So in your 40s, you should be able to perform 10 full press-ups in 1 minute.
Okay.
20 walking lunges in a minute, and comfortably swim the crawl for 30 minutes. Now that one seems
See, I'm a swimmer, and I think I could do that. I think that's fine, because I swim quite a lot. But I think if this is like from the beginning, this is quite a lot of,
No, and obviously this is like an overview and an indication. If you're not a swimmer, then doing the crawl for 30 minutes would be very hard, but you might be able to go for like a brisk walk.
Yes, that's what actually the feature's saying, a lot of walking instead of running, because it's bad on your knees. Actually, is it my that old that if I run, it's like, bad on my knees?
It's bad on anyone's knees, however old you are. It's not about your age.
Exactly.
Obviously, your bone density at 40 is slightly different to your 20s. It's written by quite a well-known fitness blogger called Fitness on Toast, and so she's a personal trainer and qualified, so she is giving obviously an overview, but she also gives you nice breakdowns of exercises you could do as well, like little workouts. So are you two in your 20s?
I'm in my 30s.
Okay, me too.
I'm in my 20s.
You're in your 20s.
See, the 20s one, I was like, no.
You should be able to play a game, high intensity squash, for an hour.
It's a bit rogue, isn't it? But also run a 10k in an hour.
With training up to it, but there's no way, like, tomorrow if you're like, I don't run, I'm gonna go do a 10k.
I've never played squash. Like, squash
is full on.
But again, this is about like the kind of, I guess, calories expended thing.
it makes you think. That's what I
yeah. Okay, so let's discuss yeah. her then, the 30s.
I thought the 30s one was okay, but that's
you
only...
You said
but that's only because I do quite a lot of yoga, so I can do a downward dog and I can do a side plank, but that's only because I do yoga.
Right.
If they put in something to do with running or swimming, yeah. I'd say no.
I must say, I read the 30s one and I was like, that's more doable than mine.
I just want...
Well, obviously, we're older, so it's yeah. harder. It tapers off.
Look after our knees,
Becky. The 20s was more doable than the 30s. But ultimately, what's obviously important from this, and it's interesting to read that the older you get, the more essential it is that you focus on building muscle.
Yes,
for strength,
absolutely. Yeah. Like weight-bearing exercise
yes, and
things.
I have found in my 30s, I mainly only do weight training, and I've seen a huge change in my body from that.
Really?
Whereas when in my 20s, I used to spin like five times a week,
yeah.
and I might have felt fit, but I didn't feel strong
yes.
in the same
yeah.
way. So,
and I think now everyone's very much into being strong and fit and
yeah.
healthy. It's
yeah.
not about being
strong.
Like,
yeah.
It's size 8. And
but let me tell you, the weights will change mm-hmm. your muscle shape mm-hmm. and mass. That you'll actually look great for it, but the benefits are... And also,
huge.
You're burning calories for 2 days afterwards, mm-hmm. which is great. You feel great.
How can you get into this from a beginner then? Because I've been thinking for a while, I want to get into weight. I can't afford a personal
no,
trainer. I watch girls do it, you know, in front of the mirrors, but I wouldn't really know where to
no,
start.
No, and I think it's really important that you don't just pick up some mm. weights and go for it, because you
yeah.
do yourself a lot of mm-hmm. injury. And also, you start light. I mean, you're not, like, going for the heaviest.
Yeah.
Well, I used to do one of those, you know, £19 a month gyms mm. open 24
yeah,
hours.
That's
but there
exactly
were still
it.
Trainers around. Mm. And I think the key is... It's not booking your sessions indefinitely, but like book a session
yeah.
and say, I'd like to get into it. And if they can just show you like a few exercises for top half, bottom half,
yeah.
you know, the main. And once you get comfortable on those, it does open up a whole world. And mm. there are these kind of online programs.
Mm.
But again, I think checking in once every 6 weeks with
yeah.
someone and sharing it with a friend.
I think it's like, because it is technique, isn't it? Like you say, you don't want to like
all
do your
technique.
Backing because you've been trying to doing mm. something, you know,
like
incorrectly.
Squats. Are
yeah.
amazing, but not if you're arching your back
yeah,
and suddenly
precisely.
It's all in your back and not
yeah.
in your legs. Which is
yeah,
what feels,
yeah.
You
same
know?
With sit-ups if you're like yeah, using your neck and not your stomach, I suppose.
But I think it's about confidence,
mm-hmm.
but being shown and instructed and like writing your note.
Yeah.
You know, and also it's really nice going into the gym and being like, this is what I have to achieve and then I can leave.
Mm-hmm.
I find it overwhelmingly boring when you're like, right, it's endless. I could be here for 2 hours just trying each machine. Like that's
yeah.
pointless.
Yeah.
Go in, have your 45-minute plan and get out.
Yeah.
But I do think, unfortunately, you either need to kind of share a session with a friend
mm-hmm.
or two just to all get guidance and check your technique. Or CrossFit is all
mm.
weight-bearing
yeah.
exercises,
mm.
and that's groups, and that's, again, probably a much cheaper
yeah.
way, but that's kind of culty and
yeah.
quite intense.
I think there's always instructors around in the
yeah.
gym, and I think they'll probably welcome someone to approach them and say,
yeah.
can you help me? It makes them feel wanted, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
No, they kind of circuit the gym not doing very much. So I think approach
yeah.
trainers if they're around
yeah,
and
I'm
say
definitely.
You know, what do I do with this machine, or how much weight should I be,
but also I think
lifting,
know if it doesn't feel right
yeah.
like listen to your body
mm-hmm.
if you're like, this does hard effort versus pain
yeah.
it shouldn't be painful
mm-hmm.
it should require a bit of come on, you can do this
yeah.
but not to the detriment of like my back's gonna snap here
mm.
but I also agree with you, trainers are kind of lurking wanting to do
mm.
things, but I also think you could almost get a plan and be like, could you show me what a deadlift is and how you do it properly.
No, yeah. definitely, yeah, yeah. If you think just asking, you know, maybe having one or two sessions and then be left to my own devices,
mm.
that's perfectly fine. I'm
yeah.
just a pushover, so I'm worried that they're going to like sign me up
no,
and say no.
And you've got to be strict on that as well.
Yeah.
Like, it is expensive. However, I also think there is no greater money invested in your health and well-being. Like,
do you agree?
I'm not saying you need to spend crazy amounts, but, you know, I'd rather forego a dinner out a week knowing I'm
doing
being
good.
The healthiest version of myself. Okay, so... Anyone got any fears here? Fears of flying, fears of dogs, fears of anything?
I've never been someone that's afraid of flying,
no.
I have to say. I read this piece though and I did find it fascinating, because the one thing that resonated with me actually was the claustrophobic feeling on a plane. But I must say, I only get that when they cram you onto the bloody plane, make you sit there, and then they're like, we're delayed for 2 hours and you can't get off. But in the air, I don't know about you guys, but I feel...
I've never had a fear of flying, but actually, as I've got older and I have experienced some really bad turbulence, that has almost brought some fear into flying, which I never have never experienced before. I don't know if it's like an age thing, or sometimes also when I'm with my children, I feel responsible for them.
Yeah,
also, there's a lot of them.
I hope you always feel responsible for your children.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I'm also like, who do I hold?
It's always that. Who would I get out first? How would I do it?
Exactly.
It's because you're so out of control. Yeah. Like, even if you're driving and it's, I mean, God forbid you have a crash, it's like you're in the seat, it's happening to you, but being so powerless. Mm. I mean, I've been on the flights where even the air hostess is like strapping in.
Oh, that's awful. That's a sign. Like, oh my God.
I've actually been on the flight when the things have come down.
No.
I was very young. My parents had to put it on me.
But you remember? You
know? Of course. Yeah. But you try and remember the statistics. That like, you have to fly every day for 123,000 years before there's even a likelihood you'll die.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, well, that's music to my ears.
The problem is those types of very rare accidents but it are happens. Obviously big news because it's so rare and completely. So catastrophic.
But then you're reading it, so next time you're on a flight, that is what you think about.
Okay, so what can we do? Because obviously now we're all going to be shitting ourselves. Hypnotherapy, classic, kind of get to the root. Because often with fears, it's a root issue that if you can untap and bring it up and deal with, hopefully you'd not feel it anymore.
And in the same way, they recommend CBT as well. So I think that you can unlearn
behaviours and processes.
And I know somebody that did a fear of flying course. Mm. She said that it genuinely completely changed her view because she's been petrified from a young age. So I think to hear that from someone that has been scared for so long.
No, it definitely, I know, actually I know three people and they all now fly happily or can get themselves in totally fine state. And often it's because they've really explained to you the mechanics and engineering elements of why this is happening and why this is fine. But there's like plenty you can do. So the flying course, CBT, hypnotherapy, breathe, like in everything when you get yourself in an anxious situation, like learn deep breathing and just calm down. Take a weighted blanket. That's interesting.
I was about to say, I thought that was really interesting that they've now found that it works for people, because I think they said it was for people with autism and it's worth to have the same calm.
Yeah, that comfort to like, you just feel weighted and secure.
Strapped in.
Imagine carrying that though around
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, you've got enough baggage as it is. So I'm just bringing it just in case.
Yeah. However, if you're that terrified, you'll do what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nowadays, you're the wheelie. It's fine. Interestingly, it doesn't say drink loads and self-medicate with a sleeping pill. I never drink a drop of alcohol on the plane. That fills me with anxiety. Feeling drunk and needing fresh air or something.
A lot of people use it as an opportunity.
I know.
I've never once. Well, for me, I just think of my skin and hydration.
Yeah,
and I think
puffy.
Of it, you know, gosh, I'm going to age 10 years on this plane. But you see people drinking copious amounts of alcohol.
I know. And also, then you're just sat in your little chair. Imagine how long. Can you think of anything worse? No. Feeling drunk and woozy and a bit rough.
Yeah. And then sobering up and hungover all on the same flight.
And having to eat plain food as your hangover food.
And the bloat is unreal from alcohol, let alone from the flight. So combine that, you'd literally be like, oh,
and you'd be dehydrated for the whole trip because it's like the double dehy. No.
Double dehy.
On to beauty and keeping beautiful, i.e. not drinking on planes. Brow pinching. Becky, what?
It's a new treatment that Blink Brow Bar are offering. And now this came about because they did it as part of their brow shape. It was given that they would pinch your brows for a little extra treat. And then it's become so popular that people have asked for it as an individual treatment. So the idea is, it's nothing to do with actually shaping your brows. It's to do with stimulating your lymph around that area and just giving, it's literally just little pinching. I'm doing it as I talk.
Yeah, I know. It's like, if you could only see. So like pincy pinches or nice big squishy pinches.
I think it's little pinches.
Like if you wanted to hurt someone, pinch.
Yes, that's how.
Like
I
sibling
see.
Pinch.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, sibling. Not a twist. Without the twist, probably.
And not a Chinese burn.
I think it sounds quite nice. Yeah. I quite like the idea of being sort of.
I understand it would stimulate the area, obviously, because it brings blood straight to the area. But I think it is painful. The skin around your eyes is so thin,
tender,
so delicate that. having someone pinch around my eye area, I wouldn't think I'd go and think, oh, I'll go for some brow pinching today. I don't think I'd pay for that treatment.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it because it puts me off that, you know.
Because Becky suggests it's incredibly gentle.
You know, Becky can go and have a, she could just report that.
I think, you know, there are some areas on your face that you probably definitely don't give any time to.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, if I'm actually puffy and got toxins around here, A, that must add to headaches and general brain fogginess. So that must be lovely to feel clear here. And maybe, like, does it help with your sinuses and flowing of everything? I don't know. Like,
it probably gets everything going.
It's basically meant to completely clear the toxins that are in that area, because that is where some of your lymphs are as well. So it's just taking that down. It will give you more glow, she claims. And I think it's a place you hold tension as well without really.
Yeah, like furrowed it. You can literally see it and feel it.
When I spoke to her, she said that, you know, people can, they do claim it relieves their headaches. It's a build up that you get there that you didn't even know you had. And it's only 15 minutes. So I think it is a case of stepping in, taking it for what it is. But they have said that it's the new take on Botox. So, I mean, hey, it's worth a try at 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'd rather do that than Botox for 15 minutes and no cost or pumping toxins.
I mean, I think it's well worth a try if you're looking to sort of rebalance and take down puffiness. It is definitely a neglected area. And they've called it a form of yoga massage, so.
Oi.
I'm keen to try it, personally.
Well, I'd like you to report back.
I shall.
So it's only at brow bars currently?
Currently only Blink Brow Bar, but I think you'll start to see a stream of copycats because it genuinely is really popular amongst their clients.
And actually, I'm sure you could YouTube
how to do it. Well, actually, they say that they recommend sort of doing one appointment with them, learning the technique, and then there's nothing to stop you from doing
just
it
at home.
Daily at home.
I had a gua sha thing.
What's that? Tell me.
So that's like the Japanese form of massage with that kind of big stony implement.
It's almost like a pebble.
Yeah,
like
a flat pebble. Smooth, lovely pebble with like little contour in a way that you can get on your jawline and get around your eyes. And so they did it, and they're like, it's very easy. So then on the gua sha stone, it gives you kind of tips. So I was like, right, come on, do it. And yesterday, just drops it in the sink and it shattered.
Oh, no.
I know. And I felt really, like, why didn't the toothpaste fall? Why didn't the cotton buds fall? Why was it that? I didn't realise. Of course, it's like crystal.
Yes.
It just like went.
Oh, no. And you know what? It really works, though. I hate to say it. Now we've smashed
it. I'm really upset.
It's really impressive.
You like push it and you're like getting rid of all the. And also, you get lovely oil. You're just like.
Yeah, I think it's a real treatment.
Oh, yeah, and in front of the TV, if once you're kind of like, know that. And I obviously, I'm not doing it properly, but whatever.
I've had it done on one side of my face before and you can see the difference.
It literally
gives you a cheekbone.
I also think it's so relaxing.
It's so. Because it's like this smooth, lovely. And also, mine was like a rose quartz white. You know?
Yeah.
Infusing
love.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh well, that's gone.
Brow pinching.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The way forward.
So this is an interesting one I've been reading. Seed cycling. I'm not sure if any of you know what that is, but basically it's a way to rebalance hormones, regularize your periods. It's a craze, saying you have Instagram, but it's a holistic approach to basically sort menstrual problems. I've always had quite inoffensive periods, probably highly irregular, actually, but I always thought they were regular, and then I realised, oh no, they're every 6 or 4 or 3 weeks, but I thought, because it was always a Thursday, it was regular. Anyway, but ultimately, you, on different days or weeks or portions of your month, you're eating different seeds. So sunflower and sesame seeds or pumpkin seeds for zinc. And it's all to do with progesterone secretion and the different, you know, follicular phases in your cycle. thoughts? Because, I mean, it seems like, wow, just a handful of seeds could do all of that. Who knows?
I think just add seeds to your diet.
Mm. But the whole point is that it's the cycling element. Mm. So you're
meant to have specific seeds at different parts of your cycle.
It does say you can add them to your smoothies or sprinkle them on porridge. So I guess there's ways of making it exciting. But this does kind of sound like a miracle cure, doesn't it? Because, I mean, who knew a pumpkin seed could...
I think it's worth a try.
It does make sense in terms of if you break down, like, what's in seeds, their essential fatty acids, minerals, vitamins. Like, they're very good if you are trying to conceive. Like, for the man, eat a handful of pumpkin seeds is, like, known to, like, boost sperm production. Mm-hmm. So it all makes sense in that case. It's more this kind of, right, for the first 14 days, you want to eat this type of seed. And then as soon as, you know, you start your period, you want to switch to this type of seed. But I guess if you have problematic, irregular, painful periods, you're going to try something natural and easy like this first.
Yeah, I think something natural is definitely appealing, isn't it? But I don't know how convinced I am that this would be an effective
thing. Well, it says it's, you know, to stabilise sex hormones and ultimately improve overall menstrual health. I wonder if people get enough of the omegas, you know, the fatty acids, the minerals in their diet. This is quite a nice, easy way of doing it. And, like, to be honest, a handful of pumpkin seeds in the day is not really big.
I love seeds.
Me too. I snack on them anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, from day one through to 14, the follicular phase, you need phytoestrogens. I mean, there's a lot of science to it.
Yeah.
And how many cycles do you think you need to give it a go to see if it works?
That's also true.
You can't do 1 month and hope it does anything.
I think it's worth a shot, isn't it? And I think if you do suffer from pain or you are trying to, you know, get pregnant or anything else, I think people will try things. So why not?
Right, moles. They're important. I mean, you've got to know what you're looking at and check. Because mainly I'm sure they're harmless and it's not a big deal. I've had about 3 or 4 removed, but you need to be tracking and checking that they are all okay. Becky, what you kind of know more about this?
Yeah, I mean, I actually wrote this piece because I have a mole on my back, which is honestly out of nowhere. It just raised almost overnight and then it fell off.
On its own?
On its own.
Wow. And, a dream.
I mean, yeah, but it came back.
Right.
Not that dreamy. So it weirdly scabbed over, which was the worry, and then it sort of broke off. So it wasn't a case of this lump was in my bed. But the doctor said to me that actually it was completely fine and it was really common. But on the back of that, I thought, I don't think many people would know that's common. And I think a lot of people would be quite alarmed. So I think it's a really interesting piece. And I think so many people still neglect their moles. I mean, I have done it before, so I'm sure everybody has.
Why do you think people do neglect them?
Because I think they take for granted how easily they can now be converted into a melanoma.
Yeah,
and I think it's scary. When I did the research for this and when I interviewed Justine Hextall, it's petrifying. I mean, she does say that more often than not, they're likely to not turn into anything too serious. But I think it's about knowing what to look out for, and it is about getting a yearly check. I think if you're darker skinned, it varies. But I think when you're really fair, or if you're someone that has never had it done, you need to be getting that checked because your moles change all the time.
I think you've also got to be aware to look for change.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, especially the size.
Exactly.
It's all about the size.
She says in here, it goes A, B, C, D, E, and the first is asymmetric. Border, which is change shape, colour, diameter, and evolving, which is constant changing of shape. So,
which is fine if you can see them, but if they're on your back, that's something you either need someone to be looking.
Yeah.
Which is...
And I think the idea of that is to get somebody to monitor it with a picture. So take a picture.
So is it like this mole mapping?
Yeah,
thing?
But it's basically taking it on yourself if you're really concerned. Get your little camera or your phone and just keep monitoring it over the... I think when I saw my doctor, actually, he said to take a picture every month.
Mm. Oh, really?
And look at its process.
Actually, a good idea is to almost have like a 1 penny or 5 penny piece and put it against your mole. So when you take the picture,
that's
you can actually see the difference. You know, hopefully it wouldn't grow or wouldn't change, but anything with discoloration or the size is major.
And also, I think it's very important to check these things and keep going back. Like, if you're dismissed but you don't feel it's right, don't take that as,
absolutely.
You know...
Absolutely.
Completely agree.
So, Heather, you've had some removed?
Yeah, so I've had quite a few removed, and I have to go to the hospital kind of once a year to kind of get lots of screenings, because I'm very fair, and also there's a history of melanoma in my family. It's what my grandma had. So I, a couple of years ago, again, I think in the piece it said most people have between like 10 and 40 moles. I've definitely got a hell of a lot more than that. And I think it was an ex-boyfriend years ago was kind of like, oh, one of them on your back. So I suddenly got really dark recently. So I went...
So he noticed.
He was the one who pointed it out. So yeah, I went to the doctors and yeah, had to have six of them removed because they were worried about them. They're not bothered about most of them because they're quite small, but like it's mainly on my back. I had a couple on my neck that were removed, but the ones that I've still got, I've taken photos of them all.
And is that all on the NHS?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, right. I had to go to a skin section as well. Exactly.
That's good. So it's not like, not that you shouldn't invest to check these things, but it's not like a huge cost for you.
Exactly. No, I didn't have to pay anything, which was obviously great. Love the NHS. And it is just, yeah, keeping an eye on it and keeping those ABCDs. I didn't know about the E, because for me, E evolving is basically incorporating
all the other things.
And yeah, just kind of asking people to keep an eye on things. And just if you are worried about anything, just go and ask.
Because it's always better to check and be told it's fine.
Exactly. Completely. And I think more often than not, if they are maybe not dodgy now, but they're kind of causing pain or discomfort or just look a bit wrong, it's so easy to get them removed. It doesn't hurt. It takes minutes.
And I found mine. I think I was so scared of it.
I think it's the idea of removal from your body.
Yes, actually, because they numb it so you actually don't feel it. But the thought of it was like...
Yeah. The injection anaesthetic actually hurt more than the other things.
And then you're like, you know what they're doing? You can kind of feel it, but it doesn't hurt.
I couldn't see. It was weird. The bit I didn't like, this might put people off, so sorry. But they obviously cauterise it afterwards to stop the bleeding. But I didn't know what they were doing because it's not... You know, when you're at the dentist, they're kind of like, oh, we're just going to do this, we're just checking this. They didn't like say anything, so I was just lying on my front and I couldn't feel anything, and I was just like,
I know that smell of burning.
What the hell is that? It smelled like chicken cooking. I was like, what's that? And they're like, oh, we're just like burning it so it stops bleeding.
I know.
And kind of looked to my right and saw these bloody tissues, and I was like, oh, right. It kind of felt quite odd, but
yeah, mine are on my back. That's how I got into it. For my wedding dress, I had a low back and I like just didn't like it. Then I was like, actually, I don't know what's going on here, because I'm suddenly aware. So then I went, and then I had the removal, and he was like, actually, would like to get this off. Then they test it once
they
it's
do
off, and you know, more often than not, I'm sure it comes back.
Exactly.
And do they send you regular letters or to say please come after a year?
I don't think that's necessarily normal. I think it's because I've got this basically a high risk of developing melanoma. I get like letters to go and get screened once a year. It's just because of a lot of these melanoma thing, a lot of it's genetics as well. I think the piece is saying as well, if you obviously use sun cream, but if you got badly sunburnt as a child, that can lead
massively
to
increase your
a
risk.
Real risk later on in life. So
read that piece.
It's so important.
It's a public health service announcement, that one.
And if anything, even if you think anything looks slightly wrong, just go to the doctor.
Well, this leads on nicely. Sun protection.
Exactly.
The best way to prevent issues is to protect yourself in the sun. So Lisa Potter-Dixon has kind of done her roundup of tips and tricks and what's new and what she loves in the SPF world. Obviously, summer is here for some people, not England. But anyway, it's not always about sun, is it? The rays, as in it doesn't have to be a beautifully hot sunny day for you to need to protect yourself. But what Lisa has done, which is interesting, is to think about things that, you know, when should you apply, when should you reapply, the SPF in your makeup that I think a lot of us non-beauty professionals rely on as like, oh, well, I've got SPF 30 in my moisturiser or face base, which might not be enough, which is annoying. Yeah, she says, don't rely on these dull areas to remember that get forgotten. And then she goes to her firm favourites. Do you guys have any firm favourites, brands that you love to wear and rate?
Well, I'm big on SPF. I'm SPF 50 all the way, every day, and I'll have it in my skincare, my makeup. I'll put on more. I'm really protect my skin a lot, and I make sure also with my family as well, they're always wearing SPF 50.
Which is amazing, because you're 18, you look about 30.
you have got fantastic
skin. Good
skin.
But
Do you attribute it to SPF, or is that a
ridiculous thing? I won't sit in the sun. I'll be in the sun. I love the sun, but I won't sunbathe. Mm. You know, I
did you ever?
I did, but even as a teenager, I was always very aware about the sun.
You have like Middle Eastern blood, don't you?
Yeah, but I've always been really careful. Always like, I always think, you know, when I've got a few too many freckles, I was like, okay, yeah, right, enough.
That's enough.
Yeah, yeah, that's all I need is a little spread of freckles.
God, I live for that.
You can fake it.
I know, but for me, it's, I view it as I'm putting in vitamins and nourishment.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same.
It's not just about the colour. It's more I feel like I'm giving myself goodness more than the bad things.
You can do that with a hat on.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was an interesting study last year that I remember reading that basically said that we're all putting too much SPF on straight away and that we should be getting out in the sun for 10 minutes to absorb
the
sun.
That is actually true. And they say that about children, you know. Yes. You don't let them see sunlight without factor 50 blocking. Mm. And it's like they need vitamin D, especially here when we don't get it enough.
I think you are meant to give your skin 10 minutes at least before you slather
But then you're supposed to wait half an hour.
That's what I mean.
You're on holiday a week. Like, come on.
Get me my tan.
So go on.
But I love Dermalogica sun care. Also, there is a mineral-based sun brand called Bare Republic. It's so gorgeous on the skin. It's not very well known.
Yeah, where do you get that?
It's all online, but it's such a lovely feel to your skin. There's no grease afterwards. Yeah. It kind of sinks in.
Is that like an everyday one you'd recommend?
Or yes,
is it,
I would.
I feel like on holiday, you kind of don't mind if it's a bit more...
You kind of expect that kind of
holiday cream, but this is like daily.
So this is daily. It's got no scent to it. It's all minerals. They have a sport version as well. They have a kids version. But it's so lovely on your... It's like a lovely silky film that's on your skin.
What's it called? Bare Republic.
It's not cheap, but it's also pretty affordable. Yeah. But I think it's the greasiness that puts everyone off.
Yeah. You think you're clogging. Yeah. Because that's traditionally like Sol Tan.
You have to wait forever, don't you? I wear it every day, factor 50 as well. I use Kiehl's Ultra Moisturiser, factor 51. But again, I think when you're on holiday, especially, you don't want to put it on and then wait for like 15 minutes so you can then put some makeup on.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of get on with it.
And also, I know from podcasts, you're not like a beach holiday person. So you're like going out for the day. You're not just like going to sit by a pool.
Yeah.
So you want to get ready.
Yeah.
But exactly. Yeah, so you're not like...
Actually, talking about sun care and children, all the rollerball applicators now, they're fantastic.
The mousse. Because you can kind of, especially with my son, not only that, it's like, I got to be quick. Like, I can't be rubbing cream. Oh, yeah. So I'll get a mousse. Yeah. And then it's like, go, pat it on, and you hope it will just sink in, you know?
And there's also now sun care with colours. So the kids love it. You kind of got a rollerball, and it's coming out blue really fun. Because they enjoy it.
Awfully toxic.
They enjoy doing it as well. The Child's Farm's very good.
You know, like for top-ups, so this is amazing, like Factor 70 spray, like is a big game for us. Like, you spray mummy, now I spray you, you know? And you can, at least like for the topping up or, did I get your neck? I mean, I'm sure I've done it three times, but just in case, it's great, love
it. The ones I don't like are they came out a few years ago, you don't see them so much now, but like the transparent sprays, because you just can't see them. They're not easy to rub in either. I think they're really dangerous.
I think it depends on the brand. I know what you mean, but I have recently discovered Cooler.
That's the 70 spray too. I love Cooler.
This is my favourite at the moment. And the one I have is transparent, but the thing about it is you literally spray it and it covers your whole arm and you can feel.
But there's a spritzy spray and like an aerosol.
I'm about the spritzy spray.
Yeah, because they're like a few little droplets.
And you can't see it.
Yeah. That Cooler one is like, it's high powered. It's coming out.
You need the aerosol because the aerosol literally, I'm not joking you, it covers you in one spray.
I agree, I love that.
And it smells amazing.
Well, Lisa likes Kate Somerville Uncomplicated SPF 50. She said it is a genius product.
That is genius.
It's a setting spray and an SPF in one.
That's a good show.
Very clever.
It's
very
such
no residue. So you do your makeup and then that does sound very clever.
It's like a top coat.
Idea.
That's brilliant. Good old Pisbwin. Allergy lotion. That's good if you have sensitive skin. La Roche-Posay comes up a lot, especially for children as well. Mm. Their kind of kids' range is really good. I think the key here is like non-greasy, lightweight, like especially for this kind of city sun cream. Ultra Sun tinted face sun cream, which is nice because it's not a makeup with SPF. It is SPF. Mm. It just happens to be tinted. I really like Ultra Sun again for families because you can get giant family bottles.
Like maxi.
Like literally pumps, you know? Yeah. So if you have, I don't know, five kids, it's quite useful. A family size canister. Vichy mattifying face dry touch sun cream. If you're oily, she recommends that. And then Kiehl's, the one you recommended, Heather. So basically, do it. Like, there's really no excuse. Mm. There's plenty of products for all skin types and what you want. All that sun cream, you better go on holiday. Well, there's a very good and very thorough piece on the site about family-friendly places to go short haul. But, you know, Greece, Italy, Sicily, all those kind of 2 to 4 hours, it's enough, thank you, on a plane. So there are 9 favourites on the site. So what did you say?
So Costa Navarino, which is in Greece, I went there a couple of years ago. It was absolutely fantastic for the children. I mean, there was, apart from obviously everyone's got to have a kids club or a creche, because that's just, otherwise there's no holiday for you. But there's separate pool areas. You know, the changing facilities are everywhere. They had like a water slide area, playgrounds in every spot. Everything's very safe. I just
felt, lots on one level.
Lots,
I feel like,
yeah,
that's,
you're right. Lots like on one level. Yeah, buggy friendly. Lots of the food. They always had like kids options. Everything. They really couldn't have done more. They really thought outside the box as well. And even when you arrived, you weren't phoning reception saying, oh, I need a cot, I need a high chair, I need, you know, so and so. Everything was there on site. And also babysitting services, so you actually can get out and enjoy your own holiday. I was really impressed by them, really impressed.
So I'm not, I'm one of those, I only have one, so it's totally different, because when you're five, I mean, you don't get a minute to yourself. But I've always, at this stage in my motherhood journey, wanted to be with him. And also, we're not outnumbered, so I can still have an hour, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I totally get, you're outnumbered, like, you can't breathe. But therefore, what I find annoying sometimes is that you can't use kids' facilities with your kid. It's drop them off, like a kids' club, you know? Or, and sometimes, like, well, it's for heat of the day and we don't want them outside. We've got amazing facilities, but I don't want to leave him because he's two and I'm happy to be with him, you know?
Yeah.
So that's always a big thing for me. So we went to Forte Village in Sicily, which is just incredible. I mean, but what's incredible for is every age group of child. So if your kid is 14 and loves football, there's proper like Chelsea Academy football clubs. Mm. Or if they like tennis, it's like they have ATP 100 events held at this place, you know? So it doesn't matter your age or your interest. Go-karting, pottery. I mean, you can do it all. Mm. But also, you could not see any of it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And have a lovely just beach holiday. Mm. Greece comes up a lot in
it
the
It does.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Greece.
And they are known for it. These kind of, there's a resort called Sani, which is mentioned, and they've got a few spin-off sister hotels. And it's like, they puree the food for you, they sterilise your bottles, there's no stairs, the babysitting services, the crèche, all the staff are like childcare professionals. So in the restaurants, they come and they'll play. Like, I've never been, but my friends go back year on year because they love it so much. There's plenty out there. Do you have any fond childhood memories of holidays, you two?
I, this morning, came in from Centre Parks in Woburn.
That's not even childhood.
Yeah, not even, yeah, here I am. It was my cousin's 30th, and there are a few kids in the family now, so a 2-year-old, 18-month-old, and 8-month-old. So it's like, let's go somewhere that's family-friendly. I was so impressed, you know, everything you need in walking distance. It's obviously, we had these two different lodges for the amount of us there were. There were 13 adults and 3 kids.
And was that nice? It nice was. Enough accommodation?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you kind of view it more as a, like, summer camp.
Yeah, no, the lodges were absolutely fine. Like, you know, had everything you needed. There were cots and everything as well. And yeah, we could kind of do the self-catering thing as well, which obviously kept things down. Because I know a lot of people say about Centre Parks, like, oh, it's quite good value until you get there and then you've got to pay for everything.
Like the Ryanair holiday.
Exactly. But actually, I think because the boys were still quite young, the swimming pool with all these mental slides, that's free. So we spent a lot of time in the swimming pool.
But that's good that you have to pay for absolutely everything.
And you can just go walking, or you can take your own bikes. You don't have to, you know, do all
You don't have to rent the bikes.
No, you can do if you don't have any, but you can take your own as well. So yeah, we were really impressed. You know, it rained a little bit, it was sunny on other times, but there was loads that we could do, and it was just really nice that everyone could do their own thing as well. Like, nobody was offended because some people were going to go to the adventure golf course, but some people were going to go swimming, and there's a spa as well. So we did all sort of, at different times, had a treatment here or there. But
that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. That was really fun.
It's nice, lovely to have you.
Nice chat.
That was a good highlights roundup, I thought. But do check out all the articles on the site, because we've obviously just dipped into them. But plenty of info and really, really interesting array of things this week. So yeah, get involved. If you did enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review, like, and subscribe. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.